Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Lord of the Rings, was Tolkien lazy? Should a book feel like an episode of TV or a season of TV? Can you make Way of Kings and Words of Radiance into one book? No. No, you can't. Welcome everyone, to a Tune Around podcast episode. My name is Richard.
My name is Austin, and I don't like that you're welcomes. Your hand gets real close to my face. You're starting to get welcome. Just backhand me. Can we get a...
Sure, what are these?
We're talking today. Rich, introduce. What are we talking about?
Our setup book's lazy. Because I think we've had some experience over this podcast. Talk about books. That there are some books that we read which clearly are a setup book for the rest of the series. And I think one of us likes those a bit more than the other. And more Agreed. Critique.
Yeah.
Basically, this is just to see... Why is Austin wrong that he doesn't like setup books? That's what we're talking about today. Should a book feel like an episode of TV or a season of TV?
Mm-hmm.
I am of the opinion that you can have both. Maybe I prefer a book to be a season of TV, complete thought. But I also don't mind your episodic nature books. I can get into it. As long as that's kind of what I'm expecting.
And what do we mean by our set of books lazy? That term there, lazy. Why that word, Rich? Why did we choose that?
Should an author be able to spend enough time to be able to craft a proper promise, progress, and payoff in the same book?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, I'll just cut it and start in the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just continue the payoff later. And can't actually do it. Is it a choice, or is it just they're lazy and they want to stretch an idea longer than it probably should be? Case in point, want to give a movie example of questions, is Spider-Verse. The second Spider-Verse movie is just stops like at the beginning of the third act. Little bit jarring. Is that lazy that they couldn't just come up with a story that is fully contained in one? Or could they end it off in a way which it has its own conclusion but then continues on?
Mm.
Who knows?
So that's where the term lazy is coming from here. We're using a very provocative word to get,
yeah.
Okay, can you do both? And when you give that example of, would you rather have your book be an episode of a television show or a season, would you prefer episodic? But you'd say you would slightly prefer season, but you don't mind season. Episodic is how you put it.
Exactly. I don't mind it, especially if you got some key elements there. If it's a character I'm enjoying, or mm-hmm. a world I'm having fun exploring, or the moments within the story are fun enough, I'm willing to put off that, it's not going to be, it's a complete story in the first book.
Yeah.
It's just a setup for the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that. How about you?
I'm okay with that, but I much prefer if it's a season of television. I think for a book in a series, I would rather have it encapsulate a season, have promise, progress, payoff, not payoff everything, more setup, payoff for later, but conclude whatever arc, conclude or pay off whatever was promised at the beginning of that book. I think even in episodes of TV, there's somewhat of a payoff in that little promise there too. Sure, you still have to continue the story because there's lots more story to give. If you were adapting Game of Thrones into 10 episodes, first episode of Game of Thrones, you're going to be left at the end with, okay, spoilers for one episode of Game of Thrones, you're going to be left with Jaime and Cersei sleeping together. Oh my God, what's that mean? Now I need to watch episode two. So it has way more impact to end on a cliffhanger because books themselves, chapters can end on a cliffhanger. Books can end on a cliffhanger too, but each chapter of a book or each section, when we're talking about an act one, act two, act three, some books are split into five parts, six parts, whatever. Do you think there's some book, what would be a good book we could say that translates into an episode to give an example? What's a book that's really good for that?
It's a long episode, but I think Wheel of Time does it pretty darn well.
Wheel of Time?
It's in that halfway stage.
Really?
Of, yes, there is an ending with each book and does have a conclusion of sorts. But for the characters, it very much feels more episodic, that there are moments happening, but it doesn't sit well on its own, especially when you start getting into the later books. I think the first like two books, because of publishing issues, like Robert Jordan had to make an ending of sorts, even though it's not very satisfying. As the books go on, though, the books kind of just end with some kind of battle, but ultimately does not satisfy any plot point, doesn't conclude anything, really. It's sporadic. Sometimes a character's journey or a character's arc ends halfway. It starts in book five and ends halfway through book seven. It's not a happy marriage of like, oh, the character, Stormlight, best example of character has an arc in the beginning of the book and learned some lesson and some kind of conclusion at the end of that book. Mm-hmm. There was promise, progress, payoff, and it's just fits neatly. Wheel of Time doesn't do that. It, like, something's teased in this book, and then we forget about it for two books, and then it pops back up here and going, and we're going to conclude that too. Do you get what I mean?
In a similar way, though,
it's not clean.
In a similar way, Stormlight does set up a bunch that gets paid off in later books. It's more clear structure where this character has their arc and their arc will continue on, but they learn this lesson in this book or they learn this lesson in the next book. I think maybe we have a disagreement here. This is where we'll get where I prefer my seasons to be in book form is I think with Wheel of Time, it feels more like a season of a book of Wheel of Time feels more like a season because as it was adapted into a season of television, there is still a contained structure in a way for Wheel of Time where the character that doesn't pay off till two, three books later, a book is constantly juggling if it's not a standalone between how much do you set up, how much do you pay off the reader? And the way I would feel the worst when I feel bad, when it's a middle book syndrome, plenty of middle books are fantastic. One of my favorite books, Golden Sun, is a middle book, does it phenomenally. But middle book syndrome, when I feel as in all of this is set up and I don't feel a lot of progress, a lot of payoff, because you want to feel like you got somewhere. You want to feel what you read got to somewhere closer to whatever the conclusion is going to be. Maybe in some plots, going backwards is progress too. So a failure, going trying to get far enough, but then the heroes get undercut or whatever happens to subvert expectations a bit. So for me, it's the feeling of, did I read this book and get something out of it? So those moments that you have where you go, oh, that character interaction's great. The world feels more real and expanded. You feel a sense of progress. Maybe the episode, we'd say that term, the episode feels as though I'm still getting closer to somewhere for your Wheel of Time. I would push back on, say, a better example for an episodic book, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Something like that, where it's an episode of TV where this nonsensical... very, very absurd. Really feels like an episode because you could see how the frame narrative for Hitchhikers, for those that haven't read, lends itself to it's not this. There is a payoff at the end of the book, which I won't say I love it, but people probably know it. But it was originally a radio show where it was released as episodes as well. Some old sci-fi books I know were weekly magazines would be written in newsletters or papers that every week you would pick up and read the next chapter, the next episode of the book. Really, are we just talking about different ways to serve to serve a reader and go, hey, this is an easier way of getting you to read this. Here's an episode of a, here's a cartoon episode. Here's a season of television show. Here's a movie. Is it a difference? What's the distinguish?
I think maybe we're talking about a couple different things. So I'll try and parse this out.
Let's parse it.
Generally, before the Breaking Bads, the Game of Thrones, the Sopranos, Wire type shows, the sitcom and the every other television show, there is a the difference between a show and a movie is typically a show has to have the character end in the same place that they began. That there's a conflict, that conflict is ultimately resolved one way or the other, and the character ends up at the same place they were, because nature of TV was to continue on possibly forever. That was the structure of it. And so you could have things like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, or I would argue, I haven't read it, but from what I've heard, something like Dresden Files operates a bit more like TV. Of it's an episode where I know there is change over time, but ultimately it's kind of like an episode of Dresden rather than a full complete story in itself. So there's a great point. Type of story where the point is that everything ends in the same place it began, and that's it. It lends itself to Dan Brown's type of work, everything with Da Vinci Code and all of that character that he goes on his adventure, wraps up, and then he's done. That is different from what I think I was initially thinking about talking, but with difference between episode and season is with something like Stormlight, you have an A plot in the beginning that is set up and paid off within that book. Mm-hmm. And it is a focus of, hey, here's something built up and it's the focus of the book. It's the A plot line. But ultimately, the series is a B plot line. There's something else going on and it's building 100%. Up.
Mistborn works like that too.
At a certain point, you can feel where those switch. So there are other series where the overarching story of the series is center stage and it's not going to get paid off in that book. Where that B plot line that normally takes a whole season to pay off and there's an A plot line to focus on and to get your conclusion, you don't have that. And so you're left in a state of, yeah, we had some progress, but there wasn't a satisfying payoff. Like we were moving toward the series end goal, but ultimately this book itself doesn't stand on its own. That's kind of what I mean by an episode, in the same sense of a Breaking Bad or a The Wire, something like that, where it's one large overarching story, like House of Cards. Do you kind of hear one? Now you kind of getting what I mean?
Where I get your
Wheel
definition.
Wheel of Time has a different feel of the B plot line of the overarching story sometimes takes center stage, and so to the point where you end the book and go, wasn't really given a conclusion. It feels like it just stopped.
I would say, for at least, especially for the first three Wheel of Time books, I haven't read past book four, but there is the A plot line is concluded in each of those books.
Yeah.
There is a payoff conclusion that actually sucks. Wheel of Time's awful. Let's first make that clear. But
that's amazing.
At the end of each of those books, there's a conclusion to the A plot. The B plot, the B plot with Rand, and that you don't get until, I assume, book 14 at the very end is your conclusion there. So I think I agree with your definition where something that I think the reason we did this video as well is because I recently finished and you were doing the reviews with me. You reread. We were doing Mistborn and First Law and I finished two book twos in a row. And there's always this middle book syndrome out there where you have book one, the book two in a trilogy seems as if it's a lot of setup and getting there just so you could set up book three's conclusion, which as we said in our reviews, there wasn't all that. When I read Mistborn, when you read Mistborn book two, it felt as though it was more setup than it was payoff to me, only because the payoff in the book I didn't like as much. I wasn't as invested in. So maybe our own personal interest, maybe books one, two, three, four, whatever, Wheel of Time, feel more like setup to you because
it depends on the book. There's several books that it feels a little different.
Yeah.
I know specifically of some books in Wheel of Time that the B plot line of the overarching story for the series is taking center stage. And so
Yeah.
There's no real A plot for that book.
I think setup is just being used as a way to express an emotion that we go, hey, it's setting up something I may be interested in the future, but I didn't emotionally feel this book as much as I wanted to. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about a big series and going, ah, that was a lot of setup, we're going, okay, it promised something. I think every book does promise something. It has to promise something. Even an episode of television promises something. If you're talking about a sitcom like Friends, it's promising you, Ross, Monica, you're going to have some laughs. No, it doesn't conclude character arcs, doesn't do that, but you're promised in Wheel of Time, you're promised in any series, hey, here is some conflict, something at the beginning, whether it's the stakes of, what's the bad guy, Bahal Zaman, right? The stakes of Bahal Zaman in book one and this evil villain, what is the conclusion of that in book one? What are you promised? And for me, maybe I would say it's a bad example, but for book one of Wheel of Time, I would say it's more setup because I didn't like the ending of book one was, okay, it's setting up something. Didn't love it. You would say more so, ooh, great moment, paid off that and setting up something because the A plot paid off.
Book one was...
not your favorite. So you okay?
It's
book,
good.
Book two for you.
Yes.
Book two,
book
and
two, I'm all the way down. Loved book two.
Book two, you'd say the end of book two paid off. You went, yes. Oh, what a scene, and set up for a larger B plot. That A plot B plot distinguishing you're making. So when we're going episodic, I like your definition before of Dresden, which we haven't read. So I think a better example is those sitcoms or Hitchhikers. Why I think Hitchhikers is a great episodic example is your character and the world there doesn't change by the end. It stays essentially the same so that you could have infinity books in the universe until you want to end it. You could have infinite sitcom episodes.
Your Jack Reacher novels.
Yeah, you could have that. James Bond films can have infinite. Sherlock Holmes, infinite, because you just have put character in this. It feels like an episode of TV.
Then to answer the question, do you think that's lazy?
I don't think it's lazy. I think it's a different style of doing it and can be just as appreciated. I think when it comes in novel form, what my preference is I want a season. I want to feel as if what I read was worth reading, that I can think back and not... I can think back and it doesn't just blend together with all the others. I like to go and look back at a book and say, this is what I got out of it personally.
You don't want it. Generally, you don't want the characters to end in the same place they began.
No, they can end in the same place. I think for payoff is doesn't always have to be character arc and change. I think payoff can come in different ways too. So payoff can have some plot progression, something in the world, something happens with some emotional moment in high, that some message is being said in that book where the character's still in the same spot, but some message is there. So character can still end in the same spot. But again, I think that the word setup, when people say the word setup, it can come off as a negative connotation of, oh, this book was set up, meaning I didn't love the payoff. This book was set up because I think I'm curious to go on, but it didn't pay off as much for me. Would you agree with that? Or am I off base in the weird, strange place that is Richard's mind? Let me try to dig in there.
Hey, I guess I get that. Yeah. I'm wondering, do you think that books should they be able to stand on their own? The whole idea of middle book syndrome is they are benefiting from the setup of the previous book and ultimately setting up things for a conclusion later on, that it feels out of place, that on its own, it doesn't really stand on its own two legs. Do you think a book should do that?
I think it should stand on its own, as in you bought the book for X number of dollars. Again, expectations, if you buy an episodic book, that is Sherlock, whatever, et cetera. But you buy a book and you read that book and you get something, you get some sort of payoff out of it. Again, I think, I don't want to say the same thing. So this last time I'll say this and then move on from this point is, book two's middle book syndrome, reading Mistborn book two for me is what I'd call setup book. And the reason I'd say it's a setup book is because I'm really excited to read book three, but book two was eh. It was good. No, it was good. I enjoyed my time there. The payoffs it gave me was cool. So all the A plots in book two of Mistborn, which we're not spoiling any of that, all the A plots that completed in book two of Mistborn were satisfactory. Cool. I liked it. However, the one I cared about the most was the B plot. The B plot that book two set up was more interesting to me. So I'll use the word set up for book two just because I feel inside, oh, okay, I'm excited to read on. Didn't love the book as much as I liked book one. Whereas book one of Mistborn, I would say setup book, but also paid me off so much. So I won't say it's just a setup book. I'll say, man, what a great book. I won't use the word setup. Because do you see what I mean by the word setup can have a negative connotation just because we personally feel that it didn't, you didn't have the payoff you expected to. You didn't like it as much.
I guess I could see that. It's a difference of, it's a scale.
Yeah.
How much are they promising and how much did they pay off? And did you feel that your time investment was worth it?
Yeah.
And so setting aside the difference of style of whether you're reading a Jack Reacher novel where it's, you know exactly what you're getting, an episode of television of mm-hmm. Jack Reacher is going to get himself into a fix and, you know, stuff's going to happen to him, but ultimately he's going to be at the exact same place that he was at the beginning of the book that sets him up for the next book, of mm-hmm. which you could read the books out of order yeah. and it doesn't really matter that much. It's just, hey, here's a fun romp with a character you like.
Mm-hmm.
So that style of episodic nature
yep.
versus a series where there is some anticipation of there is a beginning, middle, and an end. There's an actual promised end.
That's a distinguished. Yeah.
So talking
about. How do you say
that
word? Distinguishment? That's the delineation is what I've been looking for whole time.
Distinction.
Distinction. Damn it. That's the word. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Okay. Sorry. What were we saying?
Well, talking about that is so we mm-hmm. already got about that's a style. It's not necessarily lazy yeah. for an author to pick one style or the other. Do you really believe that? Do you like, isn't there something part of you going like that formulaic, like the author that finds the formula to get where, you know, they wrote 15 novels with the same character that nothing changes. It's just a slightly different scenario, but basically you kind of can figure out the plot of like all Jack Reacher novels starts with him walking into a town of some type because he's a wanderer. He has no things that ties him down. Mm-hmm. Some murder happens around him. It either is someone close to him or he's suspected to be the perpetrator. So he goes on a mission to find the real killer or real plot that's happening. And maybe it's a secret government thing. Maybe it's a assassin murder, maybe it's corruption, but whatever it is, he goes, he kicks some ass, some lady cop or some woman around there, it falls in love with his, you know, gigantic muscles.
I thought
tall
you were
statures.
Going different gigantic cop.
I would assume so as well.
Yeah,
with the nature of the book,
well endowed Jack Reacher's got one
more than likely,
probably. Yeah, yeah.
Probably. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately he saves the day.
Yep.
And then he leaves on a bus, a Greyhound bus, to go have another adventure somewhere else.
Find another woman.
Find another.
Go to another town.
Go to another town.
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Mm.
Part of you going like, is that a little lazy?
I think earlier on in that answer you gave, the comment you gave, was exactly what I think I feel, is when it's a book series, I know there's a beginning and an end. So those in-between books, if they feel like setup for just the ending, I prefer my books in between the beginning and end to also have a sort of payoff to their own and not just be the, hey, buy the next one and then I'll pay you off. Has to have some sort of satisfactory moments in those middle books for me to go, okay, it's worth it to pick up each and every one until I get to book 14 or whatever in the series.
Versus an episodic gives you exactly what it promises.
It because it goes, hey, this could go on forever. We could have a million Hitchhiker books.
So a
it
book
doesn't
that,
matter.
A book that is setting up the world, giving you your characters, and teasing you to a bunch of cool stuff that is to come, but ultimately doesn't really deliver on that in the first book. That's the stuff that you would have a problem with. And would you say that is lazy? That's lazy, right? And that the author should spend more effort and time to be able to introduce and set things up while also paying off and giving the reader some of what they were promised in one book.
You're getting me to say it, aren't you? You just want to put me in that?
Oh, I'm trying to make you say it.
You
authors
damn
are lazy.
Lazy authors.
Yeah, there you go.
I think I want to ask you this because
I want to give you an example.
Oh, give me one, yeah.
Why someone goes, hey, but that's the nature of series.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, was Tolkien lazy? No, because each book, there is a bigger plot and he pays off. There is setup and payoff in every book, and each book has a conclusion of sorts, mm-hmm. continuing on. It is a good example of balancing setup and payoff within a book. And ultimately, ooh. Imagine if first book ends with them getting to
Fellowship coming together.
Fellowship coming together. That's the yeah.
Sorry, Nick. Block out the book I said, just so I don't spoil for anybody.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But the point, if we go,
yeah,
it feels like that's a lot of setup, but not a ton of payoff.
Mm.
So I would not say that falls under the lazy category.
You would say it doesn't fall into the lazy category.
No,
that it just sets up right and.
It sets up and pays off mm-hmm. versus a book that is only set up. It's a majority setup and doesn't give enough payoff.
Yeah, I'll agree with you and say that and ask you the question too. Do you agree that a lazy book has a book one? Let's
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Just focus on a book one. Starts you off, introduces the world, promises something. Their A plot promise isn't paid off. The B plot overarching series, their A plot promise ends on a cliffhanger. And wants you to buy the next book. The A plot is going, hey, okay, you're going to have this big fight, good versus evil, in this book. It gives a way to say, hey, I'm promising you this will happen in this book. Third act comes, and right as he's going to chop the demon's head off, come back for book two. Mm. We would say, would that to you be lazy if it ends on a cliffhanger of something you were promised?
Yeah. It's, or at the very least, thought you were promised. Cheap. Yeah. It's a cheap novel. Mm. And I was thinking about all this with that there is a tendency for, I think, experienced authors that it is easier for them to write a lot of pages than to write a concise novel. That once you're getting good at writing.
Don't come for my man.
It's not just Sanderson.
It's a lot of writers, yeah.
But at a certain point, I think it's harder. Mm-hmm. Once you get to a certain level of experience, I imagine it is harder to cut back and to cut back on your writing and just give a really concise story where there's always something more to explain. There's always something to continue on, and it balloons out of control to this really large epic that often, and I've experienced with, I think, personally with Tad Williams' writing, is that it's a ton of setup, a ton, that ultimately needed to be trimmed down a lot to give us some actual payoff with the plot.
Mm-hmm.
That I wanted something in that book that it felt so much like setup and that I'm getting no payoff until book three. That was my feeling with it. And would you tend to agree? What's your impression?
I haven't read Tad Williams.
But
so with
that tendency
that...
of writers that... A writer that will... It is lazier for them to just write more than to work on making their story more concise. And where, their natural tendency is I'm going to make this two books. And where really, that's lazy.
There's a better
one book than a two book that you didn't need to do that.
Yeah. So I guess two different types of writers have different issues. Someone could look like Sanderson and go, I wish I could write that many words because a lot of writers have writer's block, can't figure out what to write there and have trouble. But your point is
Sanderson isn't lazy.
No,
not at all.
The opposite.
He isn't. But I think there are clear examples where he puts a lot of effort into, for him to put in more effort than he already is. He's already blocked for time. But for him, it's not writing more that would take extra effort. It would be to edit and shrink down the size of his novels to make them far more concise and cut the fluff. That would be much harder for him and would increase the effort. So
yeah, he definitely has, he doesn't have an issue writing words on the page. Some authors, I think, have that, the authors that haven't released books in a long time or that have series, George R. R. Martin, Patrick Rothfuss, etc. Those type of authors who knows how much they've written, but have trouble actually getting the story on paper. Maybe it's being too perfectionist, maybe whatever the issue is, I won't guess, but for the writer like Sanderson, where I think the question we're asking here, are setup books lazy? In that regards, no, because his books, his 400, 500,000 word epics conclude and give you the payoff. And without that time you spend with the characters and world, I'd argue it wouldn't pay off as much as it does. Because if you shrink Way of Kings to half its size, sure, I guess you could get some rid of some stuff if you wanted to make it a shorter novel. But the reason it's such an explosive end, the reason I care so much about it, don't worry, we're not spoiling stuff here, promise. No. The reason it's such an explosive end is because I mold. It was a slow burn. And you get rid of that slow burn if you cut sometimes. Not to say that, sure, you, oh, I'm sure there's things you could cut.
It's very different in the sense of, for Brian Sanderson, if you were to tell me, can you make the, can you make Way of Kings and Words of Radiance into one book? No. No, you can't. Just, no. That's not possible. Can you make
Mistborn book 2 and 3 into one book?
Maybe. That's a different question, that's right? A different example. Or personally for Tad Williams, could you cut book 2 entirely? Yes. Yes, you from his main Memory, Sorrow, and Thorn, you could cut book 2 in its entirety and nothing of value was lost.
Damn. That's why you dislike those books. It must be, maybe it feels like so much setup and you didn't get payoff. It's frustrating and it feels lazy, maybe.
Yeah, where I think you could condense this, make this a duology. You don't need this to be a trilogy. That was my feeling with it. So that's the laziness aspect of when a book feels like it could be one book, but you stretched into two. And that's where this was setting up for book two, where, come on, author. Make it one story. You can do it.
That example I used of book 2 and 3, Mistborn, was actually not my, I can't steal that. It was from Levy from our Patreon. He had that thought. I'm reading book 3 right now, so I can't even make that opinion quite yet. But Levy from Patreon, thank you for supporting us for several months. Check out our Patreon in the link below if you guys want to join a book club every month. It's a lot of fun. We're doing more, we're trying to do more topics recently because we've done a lot of book reviews. So we hope you all appreciate.
A lot of Dungeon Crawler Carl.
A lot of Dungeon Crawler Carl, which Dungeon Crawler Carl, perfect example of a book that in each book pays off what it promises, having some kick-ass fun with your mini antagonist in each book, with your mini problem, but there's still the overarching B-plot that keeps me wanting to read on.
That series very easily could have been episodic.
Very easily, yes.
I would expect it to be episodic.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's clearly building to something. Like there's a conclusion. Like I know there's an end.
Yes.
And it's coming.
That's why it feels like a series rather than a serialized, whatever that other term is, the sitcom example, the endless episodes. Question for you then, because I think, are we both coming to an agreement that the lazier thing to do is when it feels like a setup book that you end at a point where your A plot was not delivered? Is that the definition? Is that what maybe why we feel setup books are setup books? Is the A plot doesn't deliver for you? Maybe the A plot concludes in that.
That's book. A question.
Mm-hmm.
Are A plots and B plots the same? Of maybe the A plot is just not doing it for you. So it's there. It does conclude, but you weren't interested in it. You're focusing on the B plot. And of course, the B plot doesn't conclude because it's a series plot.
Yeah.
And so you think, man, this was just a bunch of setup that we didn't really get a conclusion.
Yeah.
But it's more on you, the reader.
Emotions.
I didn't focus on, I thought the A plot was mostly irrelevant to me, so I didn't focus on it. And so while I'm focusing on the B plot, it doesn't conclude. And it feels like, oh, sorry.
It's okay,
to myself. Sorry, Nick, editor.
I wish I had the ego to apologize to myself. Sorry to myself. I wish I had that bravado.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the case where there's one of the dungeon crawler books, I'd say this for Mistborn book 2, where when going back to that emotional point earlier, I say, hey, feels like a setup because B plot, so interesting, want to read on. A plot concluded, but not as invested. It did have a conclusion to the A plot in that story, but I cared more about the B plot.
So is it more fair to say that that it's possible when someone says, oh, I think this was a setup book.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't. It's just that the A plot wasn't interesting enough to garner your attention.
The payoff was more boring to you. It didn't connect with you. Versus a purely setup book is that A plot still teases you on to go to the next one. Maybe that's the word there. And what should we say then?
That's probably a lot closer to what I'm thinking of with Memory of Sorrow and Thorn, that ultimately I didn't care about. I thought the A plot lines were so dull that I thought, man, this feels like more of a setup book. Like, I didn't need all this, when realistically it's more of my interest rather than the book just didn't set it. The book did pay off. It did have its conclusion.
Yeah.
But I didn't care about it. And so I think it was only set up.
And I think that goes back to that emotional point of when we say set up, it's just our feeling of going, the setup was more interesting to me than the payoff that was there. And a pure setup book maybe is harder to find because an actual setup book doesn't address the big plot issue in that same way. But I think to give that example, because we're talking about series, we're talking about episodic books. What about a book that is just pure standalone? You know, it's a one and done. It's not episodic. It's not a series. What different expectations do you have? Do you feel if it's a standalone, the requirements are that better pay off? That has to pay off.
To some degree, in some ways, it's easier. In some ways, it's harder.
In what ways?
So the easier factors of, one, it's less to write. You don't have to write.
Fair.
Repeated books.
Yep.
Just pure page count. It's easier. The other factor is you kind of have, you get to fully plan something out and it concludes. And it's a one and done deal. You don't have to, the longer a series is, typically the more complex.
Yeah.
There would be no reason for it to be long if it's really simple. Ultimately, that'd be a problem, unless it's, of course, the episodic nature of it. But if a series is complex and that's the reason, there's so many different plot lines or there's a very long journey, then, of course, you need multiple books.
Mm-hmm.
So a standalone book generally means that the plot is not that complex. So maybe that's another easy factor. Hard is, it's hard to get you to care about characters for a shorter page time. I care about the Wheel of Time characters because I spent 14 books with them. I care about Stormlight because those books are so damn long. I spent so much goddamn time with Kaladin that I care about him.
Can I make one objection? Two objections? Three objections, actually?
We'll allow you two.
I'll give two. Characters in Sword of Kaigan, which is a standalone, feel more real to me than characters in so many series. Piranesi in a standalone feels so real to me. Annihilation, the biologist character, is so off the page to me to where The Martian and Project Hail Mary standalones you've read, those characters probably come so alive. I'll agree with you that the payoff you feel from those characters, the moments are so much more epic and just feel that big because the anticipation. The longer you mull with the book, the more tense, the more boom payoff.
Is your thesis here then?
Oh, thesis. Oh,
because my point is the more time you spend with the character, that you come to empathize with them.
Mm-hmm.
Is your stance then the opposite of the more time you spend with a character, the more times you see their flaws and ultimately will like them even less? If they didn't do a good job in the beginning to get you to like them, more time isn't going to help. That's kind of my point of,
okay,
didn't start off great with a character, you got time to get. You have
like real time for you is where that happens, because a lot of them didn't start off right.
Exactly.
But you got Stockholmed into liking those characters.
Yeah.
He captured you and said, hey, I'm forcing you to read these books And then you eventually like them.
You get enough chances.
Yeah.
Like, you get to try new things, get yep. different response. You get response feedback, how to get to like them. But also, just in general, I can think through, like, oh, I know so many different aspects about their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that connects you to them. Versus in one book, you know a handful of moments from their life, and you can connect with it. But it's hard to do that in less.
Standalones have less room to fail.
Exactly.
It's as if you take our 170 whatever episodes here, take one of our episodes and judge our entire character and personality off of that. If you were to do that, and maybe it was a day where you or I were off.
Yeah.
Something happened. We were in a bad mood. For you, that's a half and half, 50-50.
Yeah.
You know?
Give or take.
So if you take one episode of this podcast and go, okay, now I'm taking the whole character, maybe we killed it. Oh my God. Funny joke. Or we did awful, awful joke. And for that person that watches one of our videos goes off, never watches again, either has a super high opinion of us because they watched the one that was awesome, or super low opinion because they watched the one and that's all we had. We had one standalone. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
However, for people that watch us over and over again, no, truly deep down, we're awful people.
Yeah, so exactly.
Those people go,
you look at the aggregate and go, yeah, on average, they're not so good.
So people that have watched us throughout the time have more, maybe they didn't like us at first. Maybe they watched one episode or they watched a couple. I didn't like that take, but I like that they're two booktubers who go back and forth on a book. One didn't like Red Rising. One did.
I did like
one Red hated Red Rising with all of his heart, and
you
one
have
did.
Been,
one thought Red Rising was the worst book of
been
all time.
Gaslighting people to say that I'm a Red Rising hater.
I have not gaslighted
one
you.
Of these. One I, of these days,
go
no,
look back
you're
at that video.
All of them.
No, I am not. Look at
no,
the
no,
video.
No.
You gave
I said
zero
I
praise
liked
to that
it.
Book.
You were giving all the praise.
Exactly.
I felt like I had like you said it all. You said all the things. I'm like, well, I'm all
you
out.
You have to say the negative now.
Yeah.
So was, it just looked,
you took all
it,
my,
it just looked like.
It looked like it.
You were a hater.
I
know,
thought they're great.
I know you do like the book, yes.
Yes, okay. Because one of these days, we're going to talk with, I hope.
Oh, Pierce.
I think we will.
Oh,
we
Pierce
will talk
Brown.
With Pierce Brown.
Oh, yeah, that'll be the day.
And you're going to somehow, like, he's going to think I hate his books. And I'm going to feel so bad.
I Red Rising, the first book, is the only one you not even dislike. Just go, that was fine, right?
I thought it was good.
Oh, you liked it.
Yeah, it's a good book.
Oh, nice. Thanks.
You were just going like, it's the perfect book. I'm going, well, okay. Come on. Come on there.
Perfect. Okay, it goes, no, it is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, if you think Red Rising is perfect,
mm-hmm.
What's Golden Sun? It's like
also,
more perfect.
More perfect. Yeah.
It's like that doesn't make sense.
You can have several 5 stars. You know, you can have several. Okay, not to go on our Red Rising rant. The point of that. The point of that was watch one episode of us, the standalone episode. You have a higher chance of leaving somebody with a great impression or a bad impression. Versus, I think this is how we make friends in real life. You meet some stranger at a party, bad day, never talk to them again. Because you go, that person was off.
Mm-hmm.
You meet someone, maybe you're in class with somebody, you have more chances to interact, and you see more interactions. Just like in a book, you see more interactions with that character, with that person, have more chance of developing a close relationship over time, because Rand gave a bad first impression the first book.
Yeah.
Then, second book, another bad impression. Third book,
a much better,
really bad impression. The fourth, still a bad impression, but maybe the fifth that I didn't read, maybe he gets better.
You get book one.
Okay.
The rest, you're an idiot, and blind to boot.
Blind. Bland Albor is his name. Bland Albor. Put
man,
it on a t-shirt.
What? Man, it's just so boring to see the weight of the world be thrust upon a teenager and then ultimately deal with the inevitability of his own death and that he will kill all of his friends. That's just so boring. Terrible.
Did you just spoil it for me?
No. I gave you book one. Back of the cover kind of junk.
Oh, okay.
At this point, I don't feel like, come on.
Actually, for spoilers for Wheel of Time, I wouldn't mind as much either. You can tell me what happens off camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
You know,
one of these days, you're going to loop back around.
And then
to
like
Wheel
of Time?
No, because your problem with the Wheel of Time, mm-hmm. ultimately, is that it is, for its time, it wasn't completely new. It did little things on the genre. But by today's standards, it's a lot of tropes. But you're looking and going, like, this is tropey. I've seen this all done before, and it's repetitive. I don't want to, I don't care. Get on with it. Speed it up. I've already seen this before. one day going to reach back around and go like, you know what? I want to see just a good example. Right? Like just, I'm okay with it going slow and it's stuff I've seen before as long as it's done well. One day you'll come back around.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that point we're making too, the reason I couldn't get into Wheel of Time was Rand didn't connect me. I didn't enjoy Rand, which you did, obviously. So the thing with having
to me until book two.
I read four of the books, still didn't connect to me. So the thing with reading those characters and having more chances to like them, hey, if I read book 5, 6, maybe eventually those characters pull on you.
Maybe it just builds.
Maybe the resentment builds because you go, man, it's been this long and I'm still not liking the character.
Or maybe you would start to like him, but you've had four books of not liking him. You go,
could go both ways. You're right. It could go both ways. So with that taking one of our episodes versus all of it and having a different aspect, I think the series versus standalone point is a series has a higher... If you're enjoying the series, I'll say this. If you're enjoying the series and by the end, the emotion, the payoff, and that moment for you might feel way more explosive and you'll have an out-of-body reaction because of all the buildup. Just like you would feel a lot worse if the closest friend to you died. You, for me, couple days at most.
A few days.
But if you would have a friendship with some family member that dies, it feels so tragic because you have that connection with them versus someone you just met. Of course, it's a tragedy, but you're not going to have the same grief and reaction you would to someone you know deeply.
About same time as you, about a few days.
Yeah, I'm glad I get a few. I'm thankful. I'm gracious.
Well, I just think of all the work that I'm going to actually have to do now if you go, and that's going to make me sad.
I think we talked about this before. Who you'd have here? Digger Dan, right? He'd be the guest.
He'd be the guest.
He'd be a permanent spot.
Oh, yeah. I love Digger Dan. Yeah, he's great.
He's great. And so that person, I think for the same reason, when I read Pure Nessie, Sword of Kaigan, Annihilation, these standalones, those characters, maybe that emotional burst, this and that, but they can feel just as real as the other characters. I can care just as much about them for some reason. It's just the more time you spend with somebody, the more chances there are for either resentment or the opposite, absolute love, and they feel a part of you, I think. What do you think about that? The pro of a standalone, and I guess keeping in the topic of our set of books, Lazy Four, when it comes to a standalone book, it promises you something. Is there any scenario where you would expect it to act more of an episode, or does it have to pay off?
Well, the pros of a standalone is you got to put all your cards on the table. If you're planning out a series and you have ideas about a character or a plot, you kind of keep those in reserve, and you risk losing people's interest. So maybe you have a great idea for a character, but ultimately that's a series-long arc that you can't give in the first book. And so you risk people just not getting interested in them. Versus a standalone, all cards on the table. Yeah. All the interesting stuff you can think about, it's got to be in that book. So, I don't know. Maybe standalone does have the advantage.
You think so? Overall, standalone has the advantage of...
You get to curate the amount of time and... Mm-hmm. You have the most amount of reader patience.
Got it.
You know, it's a lot easier for a reader just stop after book one versus stop halfway through a book. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are people that just don't finish, like they'll read 5 chapters in and then not finish the book. That's fine. There's plenty of people like that. But there's also plenty of people who go, you know, I'm just going to read the whole book.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes. And I think a lot of people will be on that side versus not a lot of people will not like book one and continue on to book two.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like people are willing to finish the whole book, but not willing to finish the whole series and give you that good grace.
Mm-hmm.
I was in that different point. So like with someone like James Islington, I didn't like his book one. Not really, but I was willing to give it a book two. In different circumstances, I could see myself not be willing to give me a book two.
Mm-hmm.
Empire of Silence. I liked it well enough. I don't even think it was, I didn't think it was great. I think it was like barely good for me. In other circumstances, I don't know if I would give it a book two, but I did. I was really happy I did do it.
Really love book two.
There's plenty of people out there that just wouldn't give it that book two chance.
Got it.
So maybe a book one like has that advantage. There's nothing else to, you don't have to convince
not just book one, but a standalone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've already, a standalone, you convince them once to read. A series, you have to convince them every book to continue on.
With the standalone too, would you say that the A plot and B plot introduced both have to conclude because there's nothing after?
Yeah, it's possible there's there's not even a B plot. It's just
One of the complaints about Sword of Kaigan, again, not spoiling these books, but is that there's something at the end that seems like a B plot that is setting up something
that ultimately will never
be written because it's a standalone book. It will be a standalone book. So some of the complaints, which I understand, it's one of my favorite books ever, but I understand that complaint. It was a complaint of mine when I first read it, but over time...
What made me appreciate it more, what I appreciate more about the book is I didn't care about the B plot. B plot was irrelevant to
me. Exactly.
And so when it doesn't conclude, I don't care.
You're going, okay.
Fine. Yeah. I wasn't interested, so I don't care about it. And so that's why it performed better for me.
I don't know about you, but this was actually a helpful episode for me and my thoughts. Yeah. Was it for you?
It was fun rambling. I just get to think about these things. It's good.
Hmm.
I don't know if this is a good YouTube video. Actually, I do know the answer to that. No, but I had a good time.
Did you have a good time? This was one of our topic episodes. What did you not learn from this episode? And also...
Yeah, that's the best thing. Mm-hmm. Comment down below. What did you not learn in this video?
Also, what did we pay off? Because we're an episode, so we don't have to pay off our A plot. We're episodic.
We began in ignorance and ended in ignorance.
And that's why each episode, we are the same character who's constantly that.
Continue on.
Never ending.
Forever.
Don't expect anything from us. All right. Thanks for watching another Tudor Ramble episode. So we'll catch you all with maybe a book review next time, maybe another topic. We'll see. We don't know.
We try. We tried to promise a like one book review, one topic, and not be too one video heavy, but we failed on that.
We're doing our best. Okay. It's one episode at a time. One. No spoilers. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
See you next episode.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.